the letter was waiting on my desk before the cleaning crew had even finished the floors. Heavy cream cardstock, my name printed in that sharp serif font that screamed corporate authority. I remember the way the fluorescent lights hummed overhead, a low, buzzing static that seemed to vibrate in my teeth. I ran my thumb over the embossed logo of the firm, Senior Associate. It was the title I'd killed myself for over the last 3 years in Amsterdam's Zuidas district. I'd sacrificed sleep, relationships, and my own sanity for this piece of paper. I thought I was finally standing on the glass ceiling, ready to swing the hammer. I didn't realize the glass was actually a mirror, and I was just looking at my own cage. I saw Martijn through the glass partition of his corner office. He was leaning back, hands behind his head, watching me. Martijn was the kind of man who moved through the world as if he owned the air everyone else was breathing. He was tall, impeccably tailored, with that silver blonde hair that stayed perfectly in place even in a North Sea gale. He beckoned me in with a small, slow tilt of his head. It wasn't an invitation. It was a summons. I walked in, the heels of my boots clicking against the polished concrete. He didn't stand up. He just smiled, a thin, dry expression that didn't reach his eyes. He told me I deserved it. He told me that the board had doubts, but he had put his neck on the line for me. He used that word, loyalty. He said it like it was a holy sacrament. But the way he looked at me, tracing the line of my throat down to the lapel of my blazer, made it feel like a dirty secret. He told me that in this firm, we take care of our own. But that care comes with a specific kind of understanding. I nodded, thanking him, my stomach doing a slow, cold roll. I thought he meant the 90-hour weeks. I thought he meant the soul-crushing due diligence. I was so naive. The first month was a blur of high-stakes meetings and champagne toasts. But then the late-night pings started. Not about the merger. Not about the litigation files. Martijn wanted to know where I was having dinner. He wanted to know why I hadn't answered his personal WhatsApp within 5 minutes. He started showing up at my gym, standing by the juice bar with a predatory stillness, just watching me sweat. When I tried to pull back, to re-establish the professional boundary that was rapidly eroding, the tone shifted. The work didn't get harder. It got impossible. He started CCing me on emails to the partners, subtly questioning my judgment on tasks I'd handled perfectly for years. It was a slow-motion gaslighting. In private, he'd lean in close, smelling of expensive espresso and something sharp and metallic, and tell me that my newfound arrogance was disappointing him. He reminded me that he was the only reason I had the title. He reminded me that he could take it back just as easily as he'd handed it over. The promotion wasn't an elevation. It was a leash. He hadn't promoted me because I was the best. He'd promoted me because he thought the title would make me beholden to him in ways that a junior wouldn't be. He bought my silence and my proximity with a pay raise. The entanglement wasn't just sexual harassment. It was structural. He'd woven himself into every aspect of my professional identity. If I fought him, I lost the career I'd built. If I stayed, I lost the person I was. I remember sitting in my apartment overlooking the canal, watching the dark water churn, and realizing that I wasn't an executive. I was an asset. I was a trophy he'd placed in a high-rise office so he could admire his own power. The debts he expected were invisible, but they were heavy enough to drown me. I realized the trap was fully sprung when he called me into his office on a Friday evening, the sun setting orange and bruised over the city. He locked the door. He didn't say a word. He just sat there and waited for me to realize that the price of my loyalty was finally due. And in that moment, looking at the man who had supposedly mentored me, I didn't see a leader. I saw a jailer. I walked out that night, leaving the cream cardstock on his desk. I left the title, the salary, and the prestige. Because the only thing worse than not having the promotion was realizing that the man who gave it to me thought he owned the woman who earned it.